I mentioned several weeks ago that Wednesday, this Wednesday, will be a day of prayer and fasting. If you'd like to show up for an evening service, if that works good for you, you can, I suppose. But the sanctuary is going to be open, and I will be here from 9 a.m. praying until 9 p.m. So there you go. Sanctuary will be open from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., and this is a day of prayer and fasting. For I'm going to let it be for you whatever you need it to be for you. I know what it is for me, and I'm asking that you consecrate Wednesday, even if you can't make it to the meeting, to pray and fast for the thing that the Lord's putting on your heart. Fair enough? Fair enough? And I'll talk about fasting if you're saying, I got to eat, dude. I got a physical job. That's fine. We'll get into it in just a little bit. So let's read Matthew chapter 6, but before I do, let's pray. Lord, I bless what you're doing. I bless what you're doing, God. I don't presume to understand it all. I don't presume to understand all the prayers that have gone into releasing the blessing you're putting upon us and upon really this whole community right now. And I just ask, God, that you would take the fires that you have kindled in hearts, and that you would blow as a mighty wind, and that those fires would grow, that they would switch from gentle flames of desire for you to white, hot, roaring walls of fire that would spread for holiness and for evangelism and for the name of Jesus to be lifted up. I'm asking, God, for the wind of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 6, verse 16. Listen to the word of the Lord. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. This is the word of the Lord. Now, I'm not going to be doing a verse-by-verse exegetical message on this today. This is a topical sermon. I'm going to give you seven reasons or seven things fasting is for, and they're not even all of them. I realize this is not an exhaustive teaching on fasting. I'm just going to give you some functions of fasting, okay? Number one, fasting is about drawing near to God. I asked the Lord, why did I call this fast? And he said, you didn't. I did. It's time to draw near. Get close to the spring, and it will wet you. Except he spelled wet, W-H-E-T, which threw me, so I had to look it up. Get close to the spring, and the spray will wet you, W-H-E-T. I said, okay, Lord. So I looked up the word wet, W-H-E-T, and do you know what it means? It means two things. Number one, it means to sharpen. It also means to kindle or arouse desire. Okay? To kindle or arouse desire. God's calling us to closeness with him. Some of you, he really misses you. He really loves. He really, really loves you. But he misses you. You talk to him, but you don't enjoy conversation and fellowship with him. You serve him, but you don't enjoy the closeness that he wants to share with you. And during this season, he is calling us to a greater measure of closeness. He really, really delights in you. He really, really treasures you. He really cherishes you. I'm serious about this. He's calling you closer. He longs to have a closer walk with you. Specifically you. I'm looking at you. You know I'm looking at you, Lindsay. You know I'm looking at you, Lindsay. He wants closer. He treasures you. He longs to have a closer walk. He's going to speak to you. You're going to hear his voice so clearly. He's going to tell you exactly who you are in him. He's got bright plans in a future for you. Bright plans. He's saying it right now to me. I've got bright plans for her. They're bright, shiny. He loves you. The Lord's calling us closer, 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 closer. Remember last week when I talked about the secret life in God? That's what Jesus is trying to protect here in all these teachings on prayer and fasting and giving treasure. He's trying to cultivate this hidden life, this life of the heart, this life of the spirit, this life that's lived not for the sake of what other people see and say about us, but that's lived for the sake of the eyes of God on us, that eyes of God, the eye contact of God. He's going to get you so close, he doesn't even have to say a word. He can make a face and communicate. He's going to get you so close, the nonverbal communications of God will be able to guide your heart and guide your steps. I'm not making it up. Fasting is about drawing near to God. Number two, fasting is about pursuing the joy. Number two, fasting is about pursuing the joy, and I've just mentioned this, and the reward of our secret life in God. That's what this whole passage is really about. And I'm not really going to teach on this, but if you look down, he moves forward to talking about laying up treasures in heaven instead of on earth. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That's not just talking about the money aspect. When you secret prayer with God for the sake of intimacy with God, for the sake of closeness, you're laying up treasure in heaven, and your heart's going to follow that. Time is treasure. Priorities are treasure. Your heart's going to follow your priorities, your time. Carve out time for him alone, and affections will follow suit. Fasting is about pursuing the joy and the reward of our secret life in God. Listen, this is part of the reason that he says, look, I don't want you to look gloomy when you're fasting. Because what will that communicate? I'm seeking God, poor me. Huh? Menno knows this, that if you give thinking, you know, that one hurt, you're not seeing it in truth. Because when you're giving into the kingdom of God, you're investing in eternity, and you'll get such a great reward in him, and you'll even get a reward now. And I'm not necessarily talking financially, although I think that sometimes is true. When you let go of earthly treasures, there's something incredible that happens in your spirit, and the Lord blesses it in your spirit. When you let go and you start to give sacrificially to the Lord, there's something extremely healthy that begins to happen in your spirit. And if it's burdensome to give, you're missing it. And if it's burdensome to fast and pray, well, yeah, we know fasting is uncomfortable. Come on. I'm hungry. It's rumbly. It hurts. I feel weak. This is not fun. But what is it for? If I'm fasting for closeness in God, if I'm putting aside distractions to focus on the one thing I absolutely have to have, and the only thing that can bring life, then why would I fast in such a manner that says, hey, poor me, I'm fasting. Fasting is for the joy and the reward. And I want you to see this. The Lord rewards this. We're called to do it for the reward. We're called to seek the reward with joy. What's the reward? Him. Him. Look, no sacrifice is too great if you get God in the exchange. It's no sacrifice. It's no sacrifice. So don't look gloomy, even though it hurts. Number three, fasting is about ordering our priorities and desires to please the Lord. Fasting is about ordering our priorities and our desires to please the Lord. We're intentionally placing the life of our spirit over above the life of our body. We're intentionally placing the deep longings of the soul as more critical than the urgent and immediate longings of the flesh. We're intentionally learning through this act of self-emptying to order our priorities and affections. This is what the treasure in heaven is about. It's about ordering the affections of our heart. You know, he says later on in this passage, you cannot serve God and money. So how do you not let the stuff that is a blessing in your life take over your heart? Fasting is one of the spiritual disciplines God has given us to keep good blessings from becoming distracting idols and to keep our hearts pure and fixed on him. All right? Do I have to explain that anymore? Is that clear enough? That's probably a whole sermon, so I won't. Number four. Fasting is about turning over the soil of the heart, softening it, and removing the stones. Trust me on this one. Some stuff's going to come out when you're hungry and feeling weak and grumpy. Some stuff's going to get turned over when the farmer plows the field. Which is why the seagulls are going crazy when the farmers plow. And which is why there's usually piles of stones, depending on the nature of where you're at in this country. In Kentucky, they had these fences made of nothing but the stones that come up when their fields are plowed. In fasting, we are turning over the soil of our heart to expose things that the Lord wants to clean out of our lives. We're preparing and tilling up the soil. What we're trying to do is Hosea 10:12. It says this, sow for yourselves righteousness, reap steadfast love, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord that he may come and rain righteousness upon you. We want that. I want him to come and rain righteousness upon me. And so in order to do that, I want to till my soil, so to speak. I want him to purify my heart. I want to prepare this to see what wicked thing he might want to cleanse me from, to see what attitudes there might be there, to see what priorities that are wrong that he wants to turn over and expose and remove. So that's one of the functions of fasting, turning over the soil of the heart, softening it and removing the stones. Number five, fasting is about increased openness to the will of the Lord. Actually, if I had to give a one-sentence answer to the question, why fast, this would be it. All fasting is about learning to be open to God's will. All fasting is an act of self-renunciation, not my will, but yours be done. All fasting. This is what Jesus was saying in John chapter 4. When his disciples come to him and he's ministering to the Samaritan woman, and they say, they're urging him, Master, please eat something. Rabbi, eat something. And he just says, I have food you don't know about. My food is to do the will of him who sent me. Fasting, the purpose of fasting is to learn that lesson. That my food is not fried chicken, although I like it. I do, I really do. And I like to eat the skin when my wife's not looking. I'll pick it off when she's watching, like, oh, I wouldn't eat that. That's so bad for you. And then she leaves the room, and I'm like, did you know that, babe? Yeah, I'm very sneaky. But the purpose of fasting is to learn that I live by the word of God And by doing the word of God, which is another way of saying, I live, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. That's the purpose of all fasting, and even though I'm laying out other aspects of it. Let me read this definition that I believe the Lord gave me here. Fasting is about increased openness to the will of God. That's really the essence of all fasting, openness to God's will. You empty yourself and painfully stretch out the wineskin in order to become a vessel in which God abides and through which God lives. Is that good? I'm going to read it again. Fasting is about increased openness to the will of God. That's really the essence of all fasting, openness to God's will. You empty yourself and painfully stretch out the wineskin in order to become a vessel in which God abides and through which God lives. Number six. This one's a little more tenuous because of some textual details, which, if you'd like, you can spend a couple hours on this afternoon. Fasting is for greater breakthrough and greater power over strongholds. Here's the verses. Matthew 17, 21, where the disciples are asking Jesus, why can we not get this demon out? And if you look in your Bible, and it's a King James, the verse will be there, but if it's NIV, it will not. Okay? And this is the verse. These kind only come out through prayer and fasting. King James won't have fasting, the NIV will just have prayer. The King James will have prayer and fasting, the NIV will just have prayer. Also Mark 9:29, same thing. But the whole history of the church does demonstrate that when you're in trouble, when you're stuck, when you need a breakthrough, when you have a crisis situation, when you find yourself at an impasse and you're at the end of your strength, fasting and prayer, either for a season or a corporate season, seems to do something in the human heart. Did you hear how I said that? I didn't say seems to do something to the resistant will of God who's like, I ain't going to bless you until you prove that you want my blessings. I didn't say that. Seems to do something to the human heart to make us really ready to cooperate with what God wants to do in the circumstance. Seems to make us more open to believing his faithfulness. It seems to be more receptive to the spirit of faith. Seems to be a better steward of the blessings God ends up giving, so that we don't carry them in a way that takes them for granted and treats them as sloppy. There's something about prolonged fasting, seasons of fasting, 21-day fasts, 40-day fasts, that cultivates the heart in such a manner as to properly carry a heavier measure of breakthrough power. And if you look at the history of the church, the great men and women of God, Bernard of Clairvaux, Charles, I could go on, I'm not going to do that. But just look up Bernard of Clairvaux if you want to. Seem to be men and women who, in fact, I'll say this, Charles Finney saw in his personal life, as he was looking back over his ministry, a direct relationship to how much he was in seasons of extended prayer and fasting and how much anointing to convert and to strengthen souls was on his preaching. A direct relationship. Now, I'm not trying to say that he was twisting God's arm really effectively over here and he found a mechanic system that worked. I think it had to do with him being open to the Spirit of God. And his heart seemed to be cultivated through that practice. And finally, number seven, fasting is about humbling ourselves before Almighty God. It always is. It's always about humbling ourselves before Almighty God. That's what it always is. That's why when Jonah came to Nineveh and he said, 40 more days and Nineveh will be no more, suckers, ha, burn. That was really his attitude, actually. It's bad, bad preacher, naughty preacher. Jonah, you need a spanking. And God gave him one, didn't he? He grew up a vine and Jonah was excited about the vine because it had a shade. And then God was like, made a worm to eat the vine. Vine withers away. And he was all upset about the vine. Poor Jonah. He says, you're all upset about the vine. Don't you realize that this city has this many people and cows? And I love them. Really, that's in there. The part about the cows, Johnny Mills, it's real. You know it is. You're like, I know, dude, it's crazy. He loves cows. The Lord loves cows. If you remember anything I say today, please forget that. But what did the Ninevites do? The king says, uh-oh, and he declares, sackcloth and ashes, everybody's on a fast, and humble themselves. And he says, for who knows, maybe this God, this angry God here will not send this calamity. And he didn't, because why? Because he's not really an angry God. He's a very loving, concerned parent who is staging an intervention. Fasting humbles our heart before God and says, we need your mercy. We're turning from our self-will. We're turning from our independence. We're turning to dependence. We're recognizing our weakness. We're actually going to make ourselves feel the weakness that is the truth, so that we learn that we live by you, God. We live by your strength. We live by your word. We live by your will. We live by your mercy. We need you. We need you. We need you. We need you. Fasting is always an act of humbling ourselves before God. So here's your summary. Number one, fasting is about drawing near. Number two, wait, are you ready? Do you have your pencils ready? Like, okay. Fasting is about drawing near. Fasting is about cultivating our secret life in God. Fasting is about ordering our priorities and desires. Fasting is about turning over the soil of our hearts. It's about increase. Number five, I'm sorry, I should be numbering these. Number five, it's about increased openness to the will of God. Number six, it's about greater breakthrough power. And number seven, it's always about humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may lift us up. That's James chapter 4, verse 10, which says, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. There you go. So Wednesday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. You can come anytime. If you're a singer, you can come with a guitar and sing some songs, I won't mind. You can come write out prayers, put them in the joy box, or pin them to the cross. You can do whatever you want. Now, I want to point out a few things here. One, two, three, four, five. Five different kinds of fasts I want to give you an option to take. A water fast would be the first kind, and a little bit the most, you know, it's one day, guys. I think you can handle it, really, seriously. I'm not calling the church to a 21-day fast yet. Yet. A water fast where you eat nothing, no juice, nothing but water. A juice fast, unless you're diabetic. A juice fast where you don't eat solid food, but you can drink, say, orange juice and so something like that, you know. A media fast where no cell phone, no Facebook, no TV, no internet, no email, no Twitter, no blogging. You know, that doesn't count for you, Bunny. That doesn't count for you, because the fire only falls on sacrifice, and that to you would be a delight. So a media fast, which, you know, some of you, that would be like really painful. You'd be wondering all day why you don't hear ping. You'd be like, why, where are the pings? Plunk, ping. Oh, where are the plunk, pings? I'm getting shaky. What's wrong with you, dude? I'm having Facebook withdrawal. Just not feeling so hot. A media fast. For some of you, that might be really healthy because, you know, it's distracting. And fasting is about focus. Which brings me to the next one. A silent fast. A fast from talking out loud to people at all. Oh, sorry. Don't look at anyone. They'll think I'm saying it. And then there's this one, which kind of precludes showing up on Wednesday, but it's a solitude fast. A fast from being in the company of anyone, period. I'm wired to just love that. I love a solitude fast. When it says that Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, I'm like, just X off the whole tempted by the devil part, and it's heaven. Jesus was led into the wilderness, praise God, get the devil out, and it's heaven. Because the lonely place is where there's no one there, and me and God, I love it, love it, love it, love it, love it, always have. And actually, some of you are called to this, a wilderness season. He's calling some of you to spend 2 and 3 hours alone with him every day. And the riches you're going to bring down in your life because of that, they're going to bleed over to all kinds of people. So I don't view the wilderness as a bad place. I view the wilderness as the, you know, it's a place where you meet with Daddy. Jesus did it all the time. Did it all the time. And since people wouldn't leave him alone, he got up in the middle of the night when everyone finally went to bed. Because he had to have alone time with Daddy. And he didn't have an iPad, but he sure liked FaceTime. Anybody caught that? It's an app. Don't worry about it. Those are the ones that I got for you. A water fast, a juice fast, a media fast, a silent fast, or a solitude fast. You pick whichever one you feel called to do Wednesday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. So at 9 p.m., I'm going to see a flurry of Facebook status updates. We're back! We're back! What's up? Just want to say hi. Let's do some testimonies. Shall we do some testimonies?